Well, on this fifth day of June, let's check out what's been happening in the futures markets. On the phone line from here in Champaign County, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been an interesting spring, a lot of rainfall. We have had some flooding. We have had some prevent plant that might be in play. We're not quite certain how many acres of corn will be planted. What do you hear, and what's the trade thinking?
Well, I think the trade is totally uncertain of what's going to happen, primarily because they know that when you looked at 2009, we had plenty of guys that planted right into the 25 days and even all the way out to the end of the 25-day crop insurance period. The one thing we feel pretty certain about is that when you look into the northern tier, you know, on the report yesterday, on Monday, they showed that there are about 4 million acres left to be planted between Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Well, you know, when you look at Minnesota and Wisconsin, that's a whole different situation. They have been hammered by rain much, much more so than we have in the last week and a half, and I can attest to that because I was there. And it's not a matter of it stops raining today and we get in the field tomorrow. Up there, it's probably more like 10 days. And so I think prevented plant is much more in play in the northern states. In fact, I heard about a meeting that was prevented plant meeting last week in southeastern central Minnesota, and they had 200 chairs set up and 600 people showed up. I've heard of a lot of seed being returned on June 1st, ready corn seed, and the problem that you have up there is just no short maturity corn available. Actually, that's a problem that's a lot of places. So for them, I'm sure it's a tough pencil. You know, you got to look at if you already have nitrogen on, you're going to lose that. P and K won't go away. That'll be there yet next year, but even the long-term impact that we see on prevented plant, I think a lot of people don't think about that. You know, what happens to the elevators that are planting on, let's say, a million bushels? Let's say we lose a million bushels. What happens to the elevators that are planting on that? What happens to the seed companies for next year? What happens to the fertilizer companies? So there's a lot of things that a person really has to take into account before you make that decision, and I'm sure plenty of people are struggling with it.
Yeah, there are many things that have to be taken into account, and even in the state of Illinois, the western part of the state of Illinois has quite a bit of ground left to plant that should have been put into corn, and I'm hearing that even some of that may go to prevent plant.
Well, that's what we're hearing. You know, the thing is with prevent plant, they've really got to look at where the return is, and when you look at beans, and we're starting to get into a time frame here that's not extremely friendly to a really big bean crop either, you've got to pencil it out and say, where am I going to get the best return? And sometimes prevented plant is the way to go. You know, I looked at the growing degree days, too. You know, we all know that we've had a cooler spring than normal. But even here in Illinois, when you look at between April and May, we were 171 days behind on growing degree days. And, you know, you just don't make those up overnight. These are degrees now that have to be made up as we get further out into the September. In other words, pushing fall further away. In fact, I looked at seven different states. The two that are the furthest behind are Kansas and Nebraska. Kansas is 269 degree days behind. Nebraska is 200 days behind. But Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, of those seven states, we're 175 degree days on average behind. That takes 12 days in September with a high of 80 and a low of 50 to be able to just catch up. And so, and you're never going to, you know, you always have degree days building on those days too, so it even pushes us out farther than that. But the thing I think that some people are not really comprehending when you talk about loss of acres, whether it be prevent or just switching, you know, we're hearing a lot of 1 million, 3 million, 6 million.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at, if you take 158 bushels, 154 and 150, if we lose a million acres, we can go down to 150, we'll still be above a billion bushels for carryout. We're using the numbers that the USDA is currently using, and the part that is a little scary is they increased feed usage by 925 million, ethanol by 250, and exports by 550. That means they put 1.725 billion bushels of added usage in there. So if we lose 3 million acres, we don't get below a billion until we get down to 150. If we lose 6 million acres, we don't get below a billion until we get to 154. And so, you know, this is, and if you're taking acres out that are either going to be poor production, no production at all, you're always going to have a higher yield. And so I just think guys have to be very much aware of that, that even though we're looking at a loss of acres, it still doesn't project a really low carryout or necessarily a lot higher price.
Yeah, so this is something that you have to remind them of, I suppose, when you're on the phone with them fairly often. What do you tell them about this process then?
Well, I believe that you have to prepare yourself for whatever the market's going to throw at you. And the reality is we still have a lot of acres that are planted. Granted, we don't know what our yield is going to be, but if you're a risk manager, you have to make sure you have yourself positioned, and then you can do that using puts, anything to give yourself some upside potential. You can use doing it using futures if you're satisfied with where the price is. If you're an end user, I think you have to come in here and you've got to be buying some calls. I had a number of people from Wisconsin today who are dairy farmers that have been buying calls because they only have one-third of their crop in. And they need to buy. They're going to need to buy corn somewhere down the road. And so it doesn't look like we maybe will have necessarily a shortage of corn, but we could have a higher price on corn if we end up. Well, let's talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about a possible ridge coming in, and could come in as early as the end of next week. Now, you know, that would be like our worst nightmare, because we do not need a lazy crop like what we have planted right now to suddenly come under stress from a lack of rain and a really, really shallow root system. And so I don't think as a risk manager, whether you're an end user or a producer, that you can take a chance. I think you have to manage your risk. And I know it's tough, because especially the producer, you know, where have they been the most successful? They've been the most successful selling corn across the scale for the last number of years. And so, you know, it's easy to lull yourself into believing that we're just going to have these extremely high prices. I prefer to have my bottom covered and then let the market show me it's going to really give me those prices.
Take me through the soybean fundamentals fairly quickly.
Oh, well, Landworth did come in and drop bean acres a million acres today. That was kind of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at China inked a deal with Purdue today to buy 790 million metric tons of beans. That's huge. And from a meal standpoint, we saw today that Argentina basically lowered their protein on their meal, which is really not a great thing, and it's mostly because their beans are coming out with very low protein levels. So all of that implies that we could have really good demand for U.S. beans, even if they have a big crop down there.
All right. Thank you so much. Anything on the livestock before I let you go?
Well, I'd have to say that hogs are euphoric still over the Smithfield sale, the Shuangwei, and when it comes to cattle, of course, we got plenty of demand concerns. And, you know, it's funny, we've been down ever since they've been talking about putting that livestock amendment, banning the formula pricing into the farm bill. So I just can't quite figure out where we're headed. Choice Select 21.2, lots and lots of really finished animals standing out in the feedlots right now.
All right.
So good meat for us, but really tough for everybody else.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon.